So we get to our scripture this morning, a kind of scripture that when this is a very short scripture. This is the kind of scripture that when we have lay readers, they're always looking for, can you just give me a small verse, something without any difficult words in it? You know, those of you who have read, you know what I'm talking about. Oftentimes they said, oh, why did he pick me? Why did the pastor pick me for this one? I can't pronounce half the words. Well, this is one of the ones that next time around, you see, we'll be looking for someone else to speak it. You'll be able to do that. Now, I'm going to be reading from the New International Version on a big piece of paper because sometimes the printing in my Bible is a little small for my hand. I do play the trombone, but I'm not that good at sliding while I'm walking. So, and this is it depends on the point of view you take. It's either the parable of the unjust judge or the parable of the persistent widow. We're going to go with the persistent widow. Hear the word of God as it comes to us from Luke chapter 18, first 8 verses. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the same plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. Now for some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we have a pretty easy to understand setting. There's really only two players, isn't there? Well, actually three. But we have the widow, we have the judge, and we have the Lord. He's telling the parable, of course. And so we have a setting where this person, we assume her to be poor and destitute. You have to remember in that culture, being without family leaves you disconnected from almost all the resources in the community. Jesus often talks about how we should minister to the poor, how we should minister to the orphan, to the widow, for they are indeed in need, honestly, and it's an opportunity for us to show the kingdom of God in a real way. So this person comes before a judge. Now we're understanding by the context here, this is not a Jewish judge. This would be someone set up by the local government. And sadly, as some of us have experienced or have read about in local governments, not saying anything about local governments here, but governments in general, we know that they can sometimes not be altogether truthful and honest, straightforward, and incorruptible. And so one might assume that this judge, by his own admission, who says, I neither fear God nor care what people think, is a bit of a scallywag, a bit of a scoundrel, a bit of a person who is not averse to taking a little bit of, you know, to make sure that his kind of justice or that person's justice gets prevailed upon the rest of the people. And so we have not so much a comparison, we have a great contrast between the one who is coming seeking justice and the one from whom they seek justice. One is coming in entreaties without anything asking that justice prevail. And the other one is too often accustomed, perhaps, to deciding in favor of one versus another, not on the merits of the case itself, not on the merits of what is the right thing to do, but what's the convenient thing to do, which person has paid me more in order to find in their favor. Sadly, too often that's what earthly justice may look like. For we know that the guilty often go free. We know that sometimes the innocent pay the price. And there are persons paying price right now who did not do that crime. Sadly, that happens. So what are we to learn from this? Because it seems on the outside that one lesson might be that if you just keep being persistent, that sooner or later, good things will happen. Well, that might be one of the lessons. Or that, you know, that eventually, even people in places doing unjust things will finally get around to doing a just thing once in a while, just out of the law of big numbers. After you face so many cases, sooner or later, you do something unintentionally good, even if your heart wasn't in it to begin with. Maybe that's a lesson. But I think the bigger lesson here is pointed to by our Lord, helping us to understand that it's originally, the context was about prayer and about how easy it is to let go of praying in the midst of what seems like hopelessness, particularly in what seems like the midst of not receiving an answer. For some of us have been praying for something for a time. In fact, I was going to ask how many people are praying, and I'd hope everybody's hands would go up. Maybe some of you, both hands would go up. How many of you are praying in your life? That's really the wheelhouse, the powerhouse of a Christian's life. We can read scripture and we'll get certain knowledge, a certain wisdom. But to be without the communication that's often formed in prayer, we are missing one of the big opportunities in our lives to walk in the way that Jesus would invite us, to be formed in the way the Spirit wants us to be formed. So we have an opportunity here, Jesus saying, look, we know that there's injustice. We know that there is inequality. We know that there are some who have nothing and some who have so much that they are frivolous with the way they use it and often are careless, certainly within the community. So he comes and shares this parable about a woman who would not give up, who consistently came and never asked for more than what she expected. She wanted justice. It wasn't that she wanted an over amount. It wasn't that she wanted more than her fair share. She wanted justice for her situation. We don't know what that situation was, but we might imagine. And we have a judge who really doesn't care. It's not that he's impartial. He just really doesn't care at all. One way or the other doesn't make any difference to him. In fact, in the original context, he cares. How does that phrase go? He couldn't care less because she has nothing to give him to benefit him to judge in one way or another. And yet, out of her persistence, what does he say? He says, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice. And what happens in some of the translations, particularly the NRSV, which is the one I have in three, that translates like this. It says, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by her continual coming. Actually, that's a little less word for word from the Greek. The Greek really says, I will give her justice because I fear that if I don't give her justice, she will come and give me a black eye, which is a different way of hearing it altogether. Now, for me, I have this image of this frail, diminutive person standing before this great, big, powerful judge who probably, in my mind, at least, is a little opulent, a little, what's a polite word? Large. You know, and she's down there as if somehow by her coming in and treating for mercy, pleading for what is right, somehow that would be a black eye on him. But that's the way it translates. And in truth, you can imagine as someone who doesn't care what the rest of the world says or thinks, to have this person continually coming day after day after day showing up. And I don't know how that whole line worked, but you know, now serving number 17 and here she comes and she's back here again and she's asking for the same thing. And maybe some people start to think, you know, he's not doing his job, even though he doesn't care. Maybe after a while, that actually starts working on him. In any case, he finally says, I'm done with this. I'm going to do the right thing. And he grants her justice. Now, this is all set against what Jesus has come to share with us as the kingdom of God. Because if a corrupt earthly judge can see the merit in doing what's right, how much more will God see what's right and come and do it in our lives? How much more will we receive from the hands of a benefactor in heaven? He looks down upon us with mercy all the time. not looking for what he might gain in return, but because his will is that we might be blessed. He longs for us to reach out and to ask for mercy, to entreat him for blessings. And in so doing, to not lose hope when we have not yet received them. For a time, we spent a few years in Kentucky, and I remember talking with members of the congregation there. There had been people, and I think I've mentioned this, there had been people who had been praying for the salvation of their spouse for decades. Decades, they would wake and pray the same prayer. Lord, maybe this is the day you will move. Maybe this is the day that my beloved would come to understand that he or she needs you more than anything else. And I love them, but I want them to know the power and the wonder of this life with walking with you. And I can't make them do it, but I know that it's your intention that if they reach out, that you will grant that prayer and have them walk with you all the rest of their days. And they would pray that prayer day after day after day. And some of those people would come to me and they say, you know, it can get tiring. One begins to wonder, am I not saying it right? One begins to wonder, maybe I'm not living well enough that God could hear my prayer. Maybe I'm not doing something right. But I think the wiser answer is maybe it's not time yet in God's timing. For what happens when we don't receive the answers to our prayers right away? Well, one of a couple of things happen. Number one is we stop praying. How many have had that happen? Okay? It didn't happen yet, so maybe I'm not right. Maybe I'll just let go of it. And yet there's really a Methodist tradition comes out of the holiness movement of called something praying something through. That once you've decided that this is something I need to lift to the Lord, that you need to keep praying and you need to keep persisting in that prayer, asking a benevolent God for the justice that is deserved. And you won't let go of that prayer until God answers. And even if it's going to take longer than 5 minutes, most of our time, most of our attention span now is measured in seconds. 5 minutes is a long time. If you don't get the answer right away, not to let go, to persist. The widow would tell us the same thing. Don't let go. This is the thing I believe I need to have. This is the thing that I believe you need to come and make your kingdom known in this way, Lord. And so I'm going to continue to ask. I'm going to continue to come before your throne of grace and beg of you to make your kingdom known and to move powerfully in my life. Well, these couples in Kentucky, which I spoke, they said, there's no greater joy looking back after 20 or 25 years of praying than to have their spouse come to faith. Do you realize who was praised? It wasn't them. It was a God in heaven who heard that prayer and in God's good time finally allowed that person, finally heard that cry and was able to move. Now, we know all along it wasn't God holding back. It was the person wasn't ready yet. For God's love would never force us. But to continue to persist knowing that God's intention is to give us all the blessings, to help us to know him, to help us realize the blessings we have around us, rather than just giving up and saying, well, I guess it's not going to work this time. Prayer is not a vehicle through which we entreat God to pick out a blessing out of a big hat upstairs and say, oh, okay, you get this. You know, oh, you can get that. There's a long-standing tradition that there's a pastor in a foreign country who says many of us in this side of the world who have been blessed by so many riches, so many material things, have forgotten what it's like to go to the Lord asking for simple tasks, simple gifts. And he says, and I want to get this quote right, unless you have stood for years knocking at a locked door with your knuckles bleeding, you don't really know what prayer is. There's that sense that we all too often have got to say, dear Lord, it's me again. I really need this over here. So if you could make sure that happens in the next 5 minutes, that'd be super. I know some of you are smiling because, you know, if you're like me, we've had those kinds of prayers. And I'm not saying God doesn't hear those, but there's a much deeper relationship that is called out when we say, Lord, I'm looking for this thing to happen. Your blessing to me is I've seen it with my eyes. I feel it in my heart that this needs to be changed. And I know you're a good and compassionate God. And I know that you can make changes where no one else can make them. I know that your kingdom is coming. And I want to pursue this so that when it comes, I can give you the glory and say, I've been praying for that. Thanks be to God. You heard my prayer. and not give up, not become disconsolate, not give up hope. We are a people on this side of Easter, we are people filled with hope. And the fact that God hasn't yet answered you does not mean God's not listening. We don't know how often this woman came before this judge. All we know is that there's a word there is persistent, unyielding, continuing to come. When we come on Sunday morning, I hope some of these prayers are the same prayers we've had from the week before and the week before that and the week before that, to continue to lift them up, because we know the prayers of the righteous avail much. God is listening to the prayers of his children and wants to bless us. But we have to meet God's condition, which is, come to me. Come to me. Offer up your prayers. Continue and pursue me. Knock and the door shall be opened. Ask and you'll be answered. Seek and you will find. We can't let the short-term attention spans, the inconsistency of our own lives, stop us. But to reach out again, like this poor woman, without anyone to speak for her, comes before this person who had all the power, and even though his heart wasn't in the right place, he did the right thing. Jesus said, how much more will my Father in heaven do for you? Listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God bring about justice for all his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Don't stop your prayers. And if you're not praying, now's the time to start. Goodness me, look around the world. Look at this community. Look at this nation. Look at the world. If there was ever a time to start praying, now's the time. And when we gather together, our prayers are multiplied. We look for a day when God's justice will roll down. Not what we say justice, what he declares justice. He's the one that's declared what is good. He has shown us. He says they will soon get their justice and quickly. And so what is the marker of faith on earth? I believe one of the markers is prayer. If when Jesus returns, he finds us praying, not just for the things we need, but for the things of the kingdom to be made known, for justice to be equal for all, for those in need to be receiving help, for the people in the church to be finding ways to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We've got some work ahead of us. It's not just us. It's the church in general. We've often sat too much and not acted. We've often said, well, it's time for someone else to go. I've done my share. We need to hear that our job is never done until the Lord comes to call us into our rest, until he comes to return, and even then, we're going to be gathered up to continue the praise and worship. Much can be accomplished, but it starts in prayer. It starts in prayer, in our prayer closets at home, in those moments when we're waiting for our loved ones to come out of their soccer practice or out of music rehearsal or wherever we are. So long as we're not driving down the road, I don't want you to close your eyes and start praying while you're driving down the road. But to take extra minutes to pray, to lift it up and say, Lord, it's me again. There's some things upon my heart I want to lift to you. I don't want anything blocking that. I want to pursue your shaping my life. I want to pursue that in a way that brings you glory. And help me not to grow tired and weary. And help me not to feel guilty when I fall asleep. Who's done that? Sometimes it's late at night, you start praying, and the next thing you know, it's like, whoa. But I know the Lord smiles and says, they're tired. But isn't it nice that the last thing they were thinking before they fell asleep and the first thing they thought when they woke up was the same thing? Help me, Lord. Forgiveness in Jesus. There's forgiveness. And why would we stop ever pursuing that for ourselves and for others? Persist in our prayers. Persist and be hopeful. For one day he's coming in glory, and one day we want to be found praying, if not doing. And for those of you who think praying is not much, we'll have that for another day. Praying is great. It's good for us. We are shaped and formed as a result of our yielding our time. For none of us know how much time we have. And to be spending the time we have on behalf of others is one of the greatest gifts we can give. Persist in our prayer. Cry out to the Lord And just as those who have come before us, generation upon generation upon generation, he will hear. And if we prove our intention is pure by continuing and continuing and continuing, his blessing is already on its way. I pray you continue this next week. For the things that God makes it known in your life, on behalf of those who have no voice, on behalf of those who seem downtrodden and oppressed, for justice for all, let us pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes the parables are difficult for us to grasp, and we have to wrestle with them a little more than we are used to. But we thank you for those messages which are more clear. We understand what it is, Lord, to have someone without any advocate. In this lesson, it's clear to us. We also understand, Lord, the lesson that you've shown us, that we need to continue to persist, to endeavor, to pursue, and not let go of the opportunity to know you more fully and to be known by you in our prayer life. So whether it's a short prayer or whether it's a longer prayer, to continually cry out to you, our Lord, our protector, our shepherd, our redeemer, a God who loved us so much that he would send his son to die in our stead, and whose blood has moved us from filthy sinner to forgiven and reconciled saints in training. Lord, hear our prayers and move in our hearts and minds this day. For your glory in Christ, we pray. Amen.